Spirit of the Lord.
This morning, if you have the Bibles, go ahead and raise them up. I'd like to see those thumpers out there. Good, 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 yeah. And I think Miss Emily told her Sunday school class that today is Bible Sunday. Is that correct? And so, it is Bible Sunday. Make sure you take your Bible and give thanks that you have one. How many people at least have one at home if they didn't bring it today? Go ahead and raise your hand. You got one at least? Have one at home? Okay, good. Because if you don't, listen, I have a whole slew of them. We'd love to get you one if you don't have one. How about that? This morning, I'd like for you to turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 25, 31 through 46. I've entitled this, Have You Ministered to Him? Have you ministered to Him? 25, 31 through 46. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. It reads like this. I read from the New King James Version, so bear with me if you have a different one. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, Come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the King will answer and say to them, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these My brethren, you did it to Me. Then He will also say to those on the left hand, Depart from Me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave Me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take Me in. Naked, and you did not clothe Me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit Me. Then they will answer Him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then He will answer them, saying, Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to Me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And the Lord add His blessing to the reading of the Word. Let's bow for a moment of prayer. Lord God, again, how thankful we are that we have this privilege to have the written Word. We pray Your blessings now upon what has been written, and we know it will not return void, for it will go out for what it's intended for. So Lord, we pray that this day You would open up our eyes to see You, open up our ears to hear from You, and open up our hearts to experience You in a very powerful way. We do love You, and we give You thanks for this written Word this day. Now may we be drawn closer to Thee through it. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, Amen. Amen. Well, in this text, very interesting. I want to start with a story. How many of you have a car that is sort of rough? Maybe not real rough, but I have one. And it sort of has been giving me problems. So I'm trying to take it to Demopolis. This is during this week. And it sort of just, as I'm driving, it just stalls. I hope that doesn't happen to you, but it's been happening to me. So I tried to troubleshoot it with the help of some, to no avail. So now we're taking it to a real mechanic that can do it, fix it, hopefully. You know how that is. Always try to fix it yourself, and then you finally need to take it to the real person that can fix it. Well, that's what I was doing. So I was on the road going. I had charged the battery all night to make sure the battery was charged, because that's some of the problem. And get on the road, and I'm going, you know, getting right on down the road, and pretty soon, so I have to pull off the side of the road. And you know what you're supposed to do when you pull off the side of the road, don't you? Put your hazards on and raise up your hood, right? I mean, because I tried to crank it, and it wouldn't crank. It would click, click, click. Okay, so I'm sitting there on the side of the road with my hood up. Now, you know how long you'd be waiting on the side of the road with your hood up? Not very long at all. Matter of fact, there's really good people here in Linden and in Demopolis area. And this guy went by, probably I was there maybe just a few minutes, and turns around and pulls up there and says, "What can I do to help you?" And I said, "Man, I need a jump." And he said, "Okay." He gets out, we jump the car off. I'm all excited. I'm getting ready to go back on the road. And I say bye to him. He takes off, and I get in the car, and I go probably about a quarter of a mile. I'm going, man, I should have asked him to stick around. But so I pull back off, and there's my hazards, and I put my hood back up and patiently wait. But my wife was in town, thank God, and she was my rescuer, and she came and jumped me off, and we ended up getting down there, had to do it a couple times. Anyway, we got it there. But what was so strange is when I was the second time on the road with my hood up, and nobody, I was waiting for her to come and thinking, you know, maybe somebody might come by and help me again. There were four men fixing a hedgerow fence right to my left. Do you know that they never asked me one question? I mean, I could have spit on them. No, not quite spit on them, but almost spit on them if I was real good. I mean, they were just like right there by the wall, and never once said, "Hey, you know, can we help you? Anything wrong?" Of course, my hood up being, oh, that's an indicator. But they didn't help me. So I thought about this sermon today. I said, isn't that amazing? I had one guy pull up, I mean, almost instantaneous after I got over there, and pulled up and helped me. And then four guys sitting there, never even said a word. Now, of course, they were working. I watched them work. It was pretty interesting. I could write a book on that real quick, a short book, but it would have been a pretty good book. It would have been a pleasant read, I'm sure. Anyway, I want you to think about this text. And, of course, Jesus speaking, he's trying to give us some spiritual insight. It's red letter edition, so I want you to think on the spiritual realm, not just on the physical realm, because on the physical, we all say, well, you know, we are charitable. I mean, I know I'm talking to the choir, and it's almost like I tell my kids in my class, I said, you know, if the shoe fits, wear it. If it doesn't, if you already are these things, then praise God. But this is something that Jesus, he itemizes these things. So they must be important to him if he's going to take and write them in an itemized fashion. Because he says, if you did do these things, he says, enter in, you know, sort of welcome into the kingdom of God, because you did minister to me when I was in need. And so my question for you today is in the title, you know, are we ministering to him? Are we ministering to him? And he says, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. In that text. And so when you start thinking about this, we're in Thanksgiving, you know, the holiday season, a time of giving thanks, of thanking people and letting people know how much you appreciate them for what they have done, maybe in the past or maybe just currently, or who they are even. Letting them know that you appreciate how they live out their life and their witness before humankind. And I think that's what this is all about, because in essence, it's talking about the day of judgment, the white throne judgment, and the time of where, you know, it'll be a final judgment where you either are going to heaven or you're going to hell. I mean, that's really what that's saying in the literal text. However, he's saying these are the things that you can do and should be doing in order to enter in. And so when he talks about that, I don't know, how many of you have been in prison? Meaning visit the prisons or jails. I mean, really, it's a special ministry. It's a different ministry. Not everybody goes. I have been. And it's really an eerie feeling when the steel door closes and that clang, you know. And, you know, you just have given up all of your control, if you will, because you are no longer in control when that door shuts. You are at the mercy of the jailers or the people in charge of the jail. And you hope that the prisoners don't have a riot while you're there, because the jailers would be losing control, and you would be right there in the middle. Well, that's what you pray for when you go in. I mean, I did anyway, because they were pretty serious criminals. And so I was thinking, you know, I don't need to be in here losing my control and not being able to get out if something weird happens. So, Lord, you're going to have to protect me. So going into jail is not always fun, but it's strange how you can minister to people there. And many people have come to know Jesus in the jailhouse. Now, we've heard of the jailhouse conversion experience, and they get converted in jail, and then they come back out and become a worse criminal than they were when they got put in there. That's not always the case. There's many that come to know Jesus and live, matter of fact, come into the ministry and do a lot of great things. So jail ministries are really important. Even to the point that Jesus thinks they're important. Now, what I want you to think about during this holiday season is having that attitude of thanksgiving of people that have inspired you. And I've talked about this before a little bit, but I want you to think during this holiday season, the people that you are thankful for that have encouraged you, maybe even have guided you in ways to inspire you to be all that you are. Even today. And I say that because the Thanksgiving part is the time of the season and the year. And so when you think about those people that have helped you become who you are, if it be, I think back of people in elementary school even that I'll never forget her, Miss Murphy. She was my sixth grade math teacher. She put up with all sorts of problems for me. She deserves a medal for putting up with me. I mean, really, Miss Murphy, and God rest her soul, she is deceased, but she deserved a medal for putting up with my class and the boys in my class. But she encouraged us always, even though we were mean and hateful. She would always encourage us to do our very best. And she was an encourager for me. Someone else, like a coach, a basketball coach. My basketball coach taught me a lot about life through basketball. There was a guy named Ken Murphy in the Air Force that I would always do real well, but I had to pass these tests to get rank and to move up. And Ken just sort of saw something in me, and he invested in me and said, you know what, I see potential in you, and this is what you need to do to get to the next level. If you've had that kind of person, you know, in your life to help you to get to the next level of education or training or something like that, or rank even in the military. I remember when I was going through college, the electronics part, Mr. Schilling, Bill Schilling, a great mind. I was an electronics guy, and he always stayed after class with me. I would have questions for him, and he would just spend endless hours. If you were there and you had a question, he would be there. Another one who would inspire you to be all you could be. The list goes on and on. So I want you to, I'm saying that to make you think about the people that have impacted your lives to get you to where you are. Now that you are where you are and you're here, think about this text, what Jesus is wanting from us. Jesus is wanting us to take what we've been blessed with, and I've talked to you already about your talents, You all have gifts of abilities that you're wired a certain way. You have resources and you have gifted talents that you can share. And what God's wanting us to do with those is not hold on to them and hoard them, but also to take and share them. And so when we look at this, we think about, and rightfully so, we ask that question, well, when were you thirsty, Lord? I don't know about you, but when I pray for our soldiers that are away, I ask the Lord, I said, Lord, if they're Christians, use them like missionaries. You remember that? And I always say that. And I say, use them as missionaries and share the good news of Christ. But if not, what do I say? Anybody know? Let their paths cross with someone who would be bold enough to share the good news of Christ. That's right. You know what? I want you to think. In your life, you cross paths with people. It's not by chance, because Christians don't believe in chance. We don't believe in luck. We believe that God ordains our paths. God ordained you to be here. God ordained you to cross paths with certain people. If it's at the grocery store, the gas station, wherever it is, if it be a doctor that surgery on you, or whatever the case is, it's like God's orchestrating paths. And so when you look at people and when you experience these people and whatever the case is, the situation is, then you need to know that God's arranged for you to be meeting with these people. Now what our question needs to be is, what is it, Lord, you want me to do, and how do you want me to respond? And how is it you want me to act upon these people? See, because there's a lot of people that have needs in our lives that our paths have crossed that we tend to say, well, they're taken care of already. But did you ask? Pretty interesting. Sometimes when we ask people, how are they doing? We don't really want to hear how they're doing, do we? We just want to be cordial, and we're just saying that to say, yes, how are you? And that's all you really wanted to say, and you're going to go on because you've got something. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You got something where you're going. I don't have time to listen to all your needs. But you know, strangely enough, sometimes in those paths crossing, those needs are brought up to you. And that you have a means to help those people, whatever that might be. And somehow, it's up to you then, now to respond. And there's a lot of times that we just say, well, I didn't see that as a God thing. Well, I want you to know that the same Spirit that dwells within us today, if we're born-again believers, is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That Holy Spirit is within us. And if we believe and trust God for our salvation, then what this scripture text is saying to us is that we are now to be living for Him. That's what it's saying. It's saying that He's given us life, the spiritual life of life more abundantly with Him, and eternal life with Christ, if you will, in heaven, through being born again. But it's not that you're just born again. It's not that you've got a ticket and you said, okay, I'm going to heaven and my ticket has been punched and I'm excited about that. Well, you ought to be excited about that, that you are born again. However, you're not born again to just do nothing. Do you realize that? You are not born again just to sit in the pew and to be comfortable in what you attained and what talent you have and what you achieve in life. Because it's not all about your achievement. It's not all about your possessions. Because, you know, some of the most wealthiest people in the world, they might even own the banks. If they don't have the peace of God, then they don't have much at all. Matter of fact, they have nothing at all. But listen, if you have the peace of God and you love Jesus and you're a born-again believer and you own the banks, you can do much to bless many, many people. And that's what it's about. It's about passing on the blessings of what God has given to you to give to others. And it's not about saying I'm writing my whole bank account over to somebody. It's about being charitable. It's about serving God. It's about being a worker in the church. It's about being a worker in the community. It's about serving God in ways that maybe you can do that nobody else can't, because they're not you. You are a uniquely made individual. God created you uniquely. He wired you uniquely. He made you and gave you talents uniquely. And now He's put you in a world. There again, those paths that cross. He's put you in this circle of people, and I call it your world, that you can minister to people in ways that I cannot even enter in, because I'm not welcome there. Because you are there. You're the one that God has in that spot, in that place, to do the ministry at this time. The thing is are we doing it? Are we being the kind, charitable people? Are we doing the very things? And you say, well, I don't go to prisons, Brother Tony. And that's fine. A literal prison. Do you know there are people that are in prison in their own human body? Isn't that amazing? They're in torture and they're in prison. They're almost like locked down because they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They haven't been freed. They haven't experienced that. Remember I shared about the love of God, if we love our neighbor, that pardoning feeling of when the shackles fell from us and that sinful nature died and Christ rose up within us, how we felt pardoned and God pardoned us. And so they have not experienced that. And so there are people in your world that maybe need what you have. The love of God. And the knowledge of who He is. It's not all about the financial side. It's also about the spiritual side. About giving what you have. And when you give what you have, which are blessings from God, then you pass on that blessing and people learn from your very charitableness. And that's what God really wants. And ultimately, He's going to say, at a place and a point in life, in your life and in mine, because there's going to be this day, the great white throne judgment. There will be that day. And we will have to give an account for what we have done. And if we haven't been charitable, it appears as if that is way high on His list. Because He says, if you haven't done it to these, the least of these, my brethren, it's like you've done it to me. So if you haven't given to the need of these, least of these, then Jesus is saying, listen, you haven't really experienced my love. You haven't experienced my grace and my mercy and my pardon for your sin so that you allow me to live through you. You know, Romans 12:1 is a wonderful text. And I know we know it. And this becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit because it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, for this is your reasonable service. But then it goes on to say, the renewing of your mind or your spirit through the washing of the Word of God. That we need to continue to be current and keep with the Word so that the Spirit lives through us and that the Spirit will minister through us and we will minister to those who are less fortunate than us. And that's what it's about. And that's what this text is about us being His representative. Meaning, this is His body, these become His hands, this becomes His mouthpiece. You become what He was on this earth. Jesus lives through you. And so those people out there that have these needs that He's speaking of are looking for somebody like you to come along. And that's what it is. That's what it's about. In your world, you'll recognize them. And what happens is I just ask that God opens up your eyes to see those needs. And that you would be charitable enough to meet those needs. It's not that you're going to save the world. But you know, I shared this with a young lady that used to come to our youth group. She's now at Troy. I saw her at the ball game the other day. And she said that she's been reaching out to some individuals. And I encouraged her. I said, you know, you're not going to save the whole Troy campus. But you know, you can reach out to one at a time. And you can minister to them. And I'm going to close with this. And the little, you've heard maybe me say it before. If not, you might have heard it before. about the little stars, that how the sea stars come on the shore, and they were all, it was almost like they were all dying. They were up on the shore, and this little boy was walking with his dad, and he took the little star, and he threw it back in the water. And his dad said, "Son, what are you doing? There's thousands of them on the shore. They're dying." He says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Daddy, I made a difference in this one's life." And he threw another one out. And he said, "I made a difference in that one's life." So listen, that's how we work. That's how the body of Christ works. It's not that we're going to save the world. Jesus did that. What he wants you to do is reach out to the world one person at a time, one individual at a time, one need at a time. And just like Sherry, I think it was beautiful what you said. You don't have to buy the bicycle. You give what you can toward one. You might be able to buy five bicycles, bless you. But if you can't, then you might be able to buy a helmet. You might be able to make somebody's Christmas by just giving what you can. And that's what it's about. It's about giving what we can. It's not about saying, "I gave the most, I have the biggest, I have the best." I don't think Jesus is into that. Matter of fact, I think Jesus wants you to be humble. And he knows that he blesses you. You know he's blessed you. If you can look at your checkbook and you know you got a bunch of money in there, that's a blessing from God. You have property, that's a blessing from God. Let me say one other thing. You have health, that's a blessing from God. Because there's many people that I know that have retired, don't have health. They lose their health when they retire. They had plans to travel the world, but they couldn't go because they did not have health. So folks, you have been blessed beyond measure. Now I just ask that you think about, how can we bless others during this holiday season through this time of giving thanks? Maybe you might want to write a note to somebody that inspired you to get to where you are, because you are where you are because others have invested in you. And let them know how much you appreciate what they've done for you, and you're thankful for them for doing what they did to impact your world, to impact your life, so that you can impact others. We have a closing song this morning. Number 420.
Do you stand with me as we sing 420? Breathe on me, breath of God.
If anybody'd like to come to this altar for any reason, please feel free to come. The altar's always open just to pray. To ask God, maybe, "What is it, Lord, you want from me this very day?"